Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning as we have session number 10 on Give Me My Mountain, or Give Me This Mountain, actually is what Caleb said. But as we've seen, he was talking about my mountain. He knew that. For 45 years, that knowledge sustained him. So today we're going to continue our discussion on talking about a command, just like we saw with Jesus last week. And let me just say before I pray and we get started, I really can't do what we did last week justice in a review in about 5 to 7 minutes. So let me encourage you, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, because I think this one will make a lot more faith for you than it would if you just hear it in and of itself today. So let me pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us this word. I thank you that my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer, and the voice of the Holy Spirit is the only one that I'm going to pay attention to. Holy Spirit, I ask you to minister this to us today. Get it deep down in good soil as we open our hearts to you, and we declare that we will be changed and we won't be the same again. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. So last week, we actually got into talking about, did Caleb pray or did he say? And we began by making a statement that we covered several weeks ago, which says we're talking a lot about speaking, about saying things, but that's not where our total success begins. It begins with a renewing of the mind, getting rid of those thoughts that are opposite to the Word of God, that the enemy of your soul wants to use to tie you up. So how we begin this is by having the right thoughts, having our heart and soul aligned. And that's what Corinthians 2 verse 13 out of chapter 4 says. In the Bible of Basic English, it actually reads this way for the last part of that verse. In the same way, our words are the outcome of our faith. So out of the abundance of the heart, Scripture also tells us the mouth speaks, and that's really what we're talking here. Last week, we looked at how Jesus operated. Before we begin, we asked the question, is Jesus doing this as a man or as God? And what we saw is he's doing it as a man, given the authority that he'd been given to come to the earth for his mission. And we're going to actually see him focused on that mission today. In the first chapter of Mark that we looked at, let me just go through a couple of things that we saw. He spoke to an unclean spirit. It wasn't a prayer to the Father at all. And that's going to be the common theme that we see in each of these that we're about to talk about. He came to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law there was sick with a fever. And he did what? He spoke to the fever. And we asked the question, do fevers hear? And the Scripture said, after he spoke, it left, so it must hear. And again, it was not a prayer, Father, heal her. It was a command for her, for that fever to change. And then that begged the question, do other diseases here? Cancer, clogged arteries, knees that aren't correctly functioning? And the answer to those we see is yes, just like it was to speaking to the wind. We also saw that he cast out another demon in this chapter. The word was ekbalo. It literally means to throw out. Drive it out, expel it. And what was that? It was a command. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more today, but this is a real important one because we see two cases here where Jesus commanded the demon out. He didn't ask the Father. And then finally, he spoke to the leper who had come to him. He said, I know you can if you will. And he issued the command to him, be clean. And the man was instantly. We also looked at a couple of other instances in Luke 7, where Jesus said to the centurion, go your way and let it be done to you according to your faith. So again, not praying for his sick servant to be healed to the Father, but speaking a command that resulted in, at that same hour, the servant was healed. And so we began to ponder, is this same true for us today as a believer? Filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus was. And we saw that others did it. We looked at the 12. We looked at the 70. And how did they come back after they were sent out to preach and to heal? It says, they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And so over and over, we see this issue of commanding. Now, a lot of people get hung up on that, but we studied this last week to see, no, this is a part of who we are and the authority we've been given. And the common denominator that we saw with speaking to this was that it was always things that resulted or that were involved in evil. In Acts 10:38 says, you know how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, I want to say right now, commanding as he did, that's not the only way the Father has given us. We've got other ways that he can do it. He's so merciful. It can be a gift of the Spirit, the gift of healings. Gifts of healings that we see are a gift of a miracle. We looked at Matthew 21, and we also looked at Mark 11, and we're not going to read those right now because we're going to jump into them in just a moment. But we saw that there was a mountain, an obstacle, something that was hindering people. And again, what did Jesus say? He said, if you, and this is right after he had spoken to the tree, and the tree heard because it withered from the roots up, from the bottom up. But Jesus is saying about this obstacle that's in our way, this mountain, what appears as a mountain. He says over and over, particularly in Matthew's account, you speak to it and it shall be done for you. So he's telling the disciples and us, this is how we are to operate. Now, one thing we pointed out is that this is not commanding God. It is commanding darkness. It's not even us commanding Jesus. But he told us in Matthew 28, again, very pertinent for today, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore you go. And we see the same, something similar in Mark where he says, go and you're going to cast out demons in my name. So today, I want to go a little bit further with this. And I want to talk about commanding and asking, because that seems to be an issue for a lot of us. And I want to just tell you, what I'm about to teach you, I have been studying now since I heard it taught sometime last year, so for months and months. And I really wasn't sure as we were teaching this that the Lord was going to release me to teach it, but he has, and so I'm doing it today. And so what I'm entitling today's session is We Command, as we saw last week, and We Ask. Now, in this session today, the verse we're still focused on in Joshua 14 is Caleb saying, give me my mountain or this mountain. And what he was doing is declaring to the darkness that it kept that mountain from him so long, it is time, it is mine. So what I want to do today, and I'm going to try to stay off any rabbit trails, is to do these really four things, to be very focused on it. To see that we are both to command and to ask very clearly. When to declare, when to say, speak to it, and when to pray, meaning ask. We're going to get some revelation on one word for ask that can be used in both instances, and I'll go ahead and say that. And that word is ahiteo, A-I-T-E-O. I sounds like E, so it's ahiteo. And you're going to see it means to pray, to ask, and it can be used also, and you'll see this as we go through it, and to require something, and even to demand. Many scholars support that very strongly. And then finally, some of the scriptures we're going to look at, Jesus says, I'll do it for you. And in other cases, he says, we'll pray to the Father, and he'll do it. So I want to get into that because this same word, ahiteo, is involved there. So as we do this today, just open your heart up to receive. Now, I want to begin by looking at two more examples of saying and praying. So I want you to go to Luke 9 with me. In Luke 9, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows what's ahead from him. And so let's begin in verse 53. So they go through a village of the Samaritans. And in 53 says, and they did not receive him. And I'm just going to say bluntly, racism. It was evident back in those days, just as it still is evidence of it today. And they did not receive him because he was journeying with his face toward Jerusalem. In other words, he knew what was coming, and he was determined to go through it. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, and what did they see? They see that the people didn't receive him. So when they saw this, they said to him, Lord, do you want us, not Jesus, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and to consume them? Now, two things. We know that he told them in the next verse that, no, I don't want you to do it. You don't know what kind of spirit we're of. He was not about putting people to death. He was about what? Saving people. That was the whole reason he came. But why did they ask this? Did they really think they could do it? And it sounds like they did, doesn't it? Do you want us to do this? Well, do you not believe that they had seen Jesus command things over and over and over? And by the way, this is just after, this takes place just after he sent them out to go do the same thing, to cast out demons, to command. So this is fresh on their mind, and they really believe they can do it, although Jesus says no. So I wanted you to see that one. And then I want you to look in James 5, verses 14 and 15. No, it's not in James 5. That was another one I was going to do. This one is in James, the first chapter, actually. And it's in verses 5 and 6. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So ask of the Father, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. And then this verse concludes by saying, and it shall be given him. Now, verse 6 clarifies this to get it more in line with what we saw last week. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. No doubting whatsoever. No wavering. You're confident of it. And that's what we saw last week, that we can speak to things all day long, but until we speak in faith or believing, it won't happen. So I just want to tie those two together. Two more instances, one of commanding and one of asking. And that's the way we're to conduct ourselves. So now I want to go back to Mark, the 11th chapter. And I want us to look through three verses here. One we've already looked at, but the others two we're going to spend some time in. So in Mark 11, Jesus has cursed the fig tree as he was on his way to Jerusalem the previous day. As they're coming back in the next day, Peter says, look, this thing is dried from the roots up. And Jesus in verse 22 answers them and said, and I know I've taught this before, but don't close your ears to it. My translation, New American Standard, says, have faith in God. Literally, what he's saying is, have God's kind of faith. The Bible in basic English just simply says, have God's faith. And we've got to stop there. God knows that his words are going to go out and what? Produce. They're not going to return to him void. But what does that imply? God's faith involves speaking to things. That is a kingdom principle that we see, and we see that enforced here. And then verse 23 that we looked at last week, so we'll go through it quickly. Truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, in other words, so be it. This is the way it is. The word is actually amen, the Hebrew word. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be, and the word granted is added, it shall be him. In other words, it's going to manifest to him. So we've seen that this is asking, it's not praying God to remove this mountain, but it's demanding, mountain, you be removed. It's issuing a command, telling it what to do. But again, what is required? Believing it as we speak it. And then we go to verse 24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. So we've seen something commanded, and now we're seeing something prayed. Let me read you a few translations of these. The New King James says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, have faith that it has been granted to you." In other words, it's already been promised to you, and you will have them. King James actually says, things that you desire. Now that word for ask, the word that's translated desire, is that word ahiteo, and I'll talk about it in just a moment. The Williams translation says, So then I tell you, whenever you pray and ask for anything. So now that tells me that praying and asking are not exactly the same thing. And you're going to see that momentarily as well. Have faith that it has been granted to you and you will get it. So the word pray here is the word prosukomahi. And it's a word, two words put together. One means facing or toward. And the other means to wish or to have your will implored or pray. And it literally means to pray to God. But it also implies supplication, which is asking. And it's all that asking, it says it's asking humbly and yet earnestly. And it's kind of like, for me, humbly yet boldly. And we've already talked about the difference there. Humbly is what? Submitting to God's will. And then earnestly is knowing that it's, you're going to have results from it. So he's saying here, pray as you have faith, as you believe, and it'll be yours. Now, let me just reinforce this. Praying then is not just asking, but it's also involving what? Praise and worship. Time of fellowship is really the implication of it. So asking is just a part of it. The word ask, I already told you, is the word ahiteo, and it means generally to ask, but it's translated other things, even beg. It's to call for, to crave, to desire, and you're to require. Many, many folks who understand the Greeks well, and I could give you some names, but I didn't recognize any of them, so there's no use in me trying to remember them and tell you. Also say it has a strong implication of demanding or commanding. And this is where people get hung up. And we're going to get to the bottom of that today. But what it is, what we see here is asking in this case is expressing a desire for this to be given. But it's coming from a different perspective than commanded. Matthew 21. Verse 21 and 22, we see the same thing. Jesus saying, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen." So there's all those yous that we saw. And again, amen, this is the way it is. Firmly is what that word verily can also mean in the Greek language. And so he's speaking a command, something hindering your walk. And I just can't stress that enough. Doing it in faith with no doubt, no wavering. And doubting is interesting. The word doubt means to separate thoroughly. So you are just making absolutely certain that there's no overlap between that doubt and your faith. So here we go then in verse 22. "And all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." All things that you ask in prayer, you shall receive. So it's not a request. This is also using the word ahiteo. And I'll say for the second time and probably not the last, we do not demand or command God or Jesus in any way. But we sure do that to the enemy. So I want to now go to the book of John. And I want us to dig into this a little more. And in these verses, you're going to see Jesus talking, obviously, so it's red letters. And I want you to pay close attention to what he says, but also what he doesn't say. But even more importantly, I want you to just begin to get the context of what is being said here, because that's important. So let's start with verse 12. And we must settle this. Everything we're talking about here, if you don't believe this, just becomes irrelevant for you. And it's got to be true, not that you think it about me, but it's got to be true about yourself. So verse 12, he comes again. Truly, truly, this is John 14. Verily, verily, this is the way it is. Pay attention, because he says it twice. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works, key word there, just underline that if you are highlighted, if you do so in your Bible, that I shall do, he shall do also. Well, is he saying I'm going to do the same things he did, works-wise? Yes. And then he goes on to say, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to the Father. Now that phrase, because I go to the Father, gives us some indication of the time that this is talking about. So what do we know? It's after the cross. It's after his ascension, when he's been glorified and has taken his seat in that position of all authority at the right hand of the Father. So now let's back up to verse 8 and let's see the context that all this is put together in. This is when Philip in verse 8 says, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be fine. That's enough for me. And Jesus said to him in 9, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Now that tells us we need to get personal with Jesus, but that's not really the purpose of what I'm teaching today. He who has seen the Father, has seen me, has seen the Father. So how do you say, show us the Father? So let me ask the question. In the context of what he's talking about, who is he beginning to imply here that today we must show the show? Who must show the Father in Jesus today? And it's you and I, because Jesus is no longer here to reveal the Father in his physical body. And then we go to 10 and 11. Notice the word works again. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Now, he is telling them this, but yes, this is the exact state that we are in today. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative. So he's saying, what I'm doing and what I'm saying is not my idea. And I want to tell you clearly, that is the case today. There are times where you have authority and you know these things, healing, for instance, and you are free to speak it. You're commanding evil, just like we saw last week. And there's other times where you may be in a position with no seeming authority, and yet what? The Father uses you to issue a command and a gift of faith or a work, gifts of healings or even working of miracles to bring about healing. So again, in verse 10, he's saying, I don't do these things on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me, he does the works. So he's talking about works. What is that works? Those were the ones we looked at last week. Those are the works of speaking to mountains. And then he says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on the account of the works themselves. Now, obviously, the context of this is what? Works. And then comes verse 12 that we just read. So he's saying to us in 12, you're also going to do them. Now, we're not just going to do anything we want to. It's got to be his will according to his word. And we must what? We must have heard from the Father via the Holy Spirit in a word that's spoken to us from the Father or from Jesus, and also from the Word of God itself. Now, let me just stop again and say this. Look at that last phrase in 12, because I go to the Father. He's not just telling them this is what's going to happen between now and the time I go to the cross. This is the last moments before he goes to the cross. And so he is definitely talking about this age of grace that we live in, where we are the ones to represent Jesus. And then we look at verse 13. And this is one that some people say, well, we're asking Jesus. I want you to just look carefully at what he says here. And whatever you ask, the word there is ahiteo, in my name, that will I do. He didn't say the Father's going to do it. He said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How was the Father glorified? How was Jesus glorified by the Father? He was given the name of the Lord. He was given the right hand, the seat at the right hand, and he was given what? Authority over everything, all things in heaven and all things on earth. So when he says to us now in this verse, that in verse 13, he says, whatever you ask, ahiteo, in my name, what's he saying? Using the authority that I've given you. What he's told us in Matthew 28, what he's instructed them to do in Mark 16. He's saying, when you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So now, the key question then is, again, what is this in context of? And is it in context of what? Back to verse 12, the works that Jesus does that he's now saying we're going to do. How did he do the works? Now, I'm going to context to look at this word ahiteo, which can mean ask, but I also told you it can mean to require, to command, to demand. What's he saying? Whatever you ask in my name, given the authority, I will do it. So all the works that Jesus did that we saw last week, were they asking or were they directing? In other words, commanding or requiring? And it's the latter. So I believe the context of this word here is absolutely in terms of the works that Jesus did, and that we're going to do it the same way. And look what it says here now in verse 14. If you ask, now we said this is in the context of commanding. If you command anything in my name, I will do it. So it's almost like Jesus is saying to us, when you issue a command to darkness, I am going to enforce it by my power. It is the same thing for you to ask it in my name, to command it in my name, because I'm there to do what? To enforce it. So this is what I believe. And you say, well, gosh, how can you say this? Does this word ahiteo, are there uses? How do we know it means command? Well, let's look at Scripture. Let's let Scripture interpret Scripture. Go with me to the book of Luke, the 23rd verse. And I'm going to read you a number of Scriptures. 23rd verse in King James says, and they were instant. This is when Herod has given them a choice of who to crucify. And it says, and they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he, Jesus, might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. So there is one use. Now the NASB said they were asking with loud voices. In other words, they were adamant. In verse 24 in the New American Standard says, Pilate pronounced the sentence that their demand should be granted. Complete Jewish. Listen to this one. But they were yelling insistently, demanding that he be executed on the stake, and their shouting prevailed. Pilate decided to grant their demand. And the King James has changed to, in the New King James, to where it says they were insistent, demanding. So here we see some other cases where this happens. Now, or see this case where it happens. Now, let me just say clearly, you don't want to take this word ahiteo as always demanding. You've got to begin to look at the context. Let me give you two more examples. 2 Corinthians 1:22, and I'm not going to turn there for time's sake. It simply says, the Jews require a sign, talking about before they would believe. The word require, ahiteo. In Acts, you remember when Paul and Silas were thrown in the inner part of the jail and they were worshiping and the earthquake came? And when it did, the chief jailer came running in, fearing that everybody had left and he was going to get his head cut off. And the scripture says in Acts 16, verse 29, then the jailer called for lights. Now, when an officer gives a statement, what is it? Is he asking the soldier, please do this? Or those who work under his command in the jail? No, it is a demand. Get me a light. That word call there is also the word ahiteo. So I want you to see, over and over we see this. Over and over. And I believe this gives us insight here to what Jesus is saying about when we are doing works that counter the work of the enemy, we have the freedom to issue command. Let me say real quickly, maybe I'll talk about this a little more next week. If you're interested, just drop us a note in it. But Kenneth E. Hagin, in a vision he saw, he was talking with, Jesus was talking to him, and this little impish figure got in front. I know I've taught this several times for those of you who've been with us for a long time. And that little imp guy kept bothering him to the point, and it was, made it smoky even, that Brother Hagin said, I couldn't even see Jesus. And finally, he said, I had enough, and I just said, go in the name of Jesus. And that thing took off. And Jesus, he asked Jesus about it. Why did you allow this? And he said, you allowed it. He said, I don't buy that. He said, I couldn't have done it. And he said, I really don't buy that. And Jesus said, I'll give you four scriptures, four testimonies. He gave him Matthew 28. He gave him Mark 16. He gave him the account in, I think I wrote it down here, in James, where it says, submit to the devil, resist, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and what? He will flee, as in stark terror. And that's in James 4, 7. And Jesus said, and who is this talking about, me or you? And he had to say, he's talking about me. And then finally in Ephesians 4, I think it's verse 27, where it says, don't give the devil any place. So he showed him those four, saying, this is what you are to do. Now, I want you to turn over two chapters to John 16, because we've all been told and taught, rightly so, that we don't pray to Jesus. We certainly don't pray to angels. We pray to the Father. How? In the name of Jesus. So I want you to look at John 16, verse 23. Now again, these are some of the very last things Jesus taught the disciples. So would you not think these are some very important ones? This too is talking about what happens after his crucifixion, and they're going to have joy because he's going to be coming back. And it says, in that day, so he's talking about this dispensation that we live in. He says, you will ask me nothing. The word ahiteo. Truly, I say to you, if you shall ask, ahiteo, the Father for anything, he will give it to you. And how is he giving it to us? In my name. Because we're asking in his name. Because that's where we are. So it's the same thing to the Father as Jesus asking him. And then he says, no, let me stop. So do you see this one is different? This one, we're asking the Father. And the other one that we looked at in John 14, Jesus said, whatever you ask, or I would say command, require, demand, in my name. So we're asking in my name. But in the other one, Jesus said, I'll do it. But now you understand the context, don't you? And you're going to see the difference in this one in just a few seconds. The other one was addressing works that had limited us, that hindered us, that gave us, placed the curse on us. And let me say here, this is really pertinent when we have an attitude that we're not the sick trying to get well, but we are the healed resisting sickness. We are healed, and we're commanding the disease or the demon that's bringing a disease, trying to put it on us, to go as it pertains to sickness. Let me pick up in verse 24. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive it, that your joy may be made full. Now, I believe he's asking for things that are in God's will. It's not about asking things that are totally inappropriate, as I've seen some folks do. But when we're asking in this manner, then what are we doing? We're in prayer to the Father. And when are we, so if we're in His presence speaking to Him, and that's how we ought to view prayer, what does Psalm say about in His presence is fullness of joy? And then that's the phrase used in verse 24 as well. Verse 26, Jesus said, in that day you will ask in my name, and I don't say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. Jesus is saying, you don't need to come to me to ask the Father, because, verse 27, the Father himself loves you. In other words, you don't need to ask me to ask the Father. You can now go to him directly. You can go boldly to that throne of grace to take mercy and to receive grace to help in time of need. He loves you. So what are we seeing here? Things that the devil presents to us that are contrary to the blessing of the Lord on us, we have the ability to speak directly to those and say, no, depart in Jesus' name. God is so gracious to us, though, that he doesn't just limit it this. In James 5, 14 and 15 that I had marked, mentioned earlier, that's where the sick can say, call the elders and let them pray and they'll be healed. So we've seen other ways that the Father will do it too. But if we are in a state where we can execute authority and speak that authority, we can be doing it ourselves. And then we come to this one and you say, well, give me an example. Well, how about James 1:17? Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From the Father, from above. So everything that has been granted to us, promise-wise, this is saying, I believe, ask the Father directly in the name of Jesus, and what? And it shall be granted to us. Because in Him, in Jesus, all the promises are yes and amen. We need to say again, we're doing both of these in faith. So what I've tried to do today is just talk about several things that we need to mention, that we are both to command and to ask. So a little bit of difference in when you can. I wanted you to see the comparison of asking, because that is so important in our prayer life, and we are to be a people of prayer. I trust you've gotten some insight on the word revelation on the word ahiteo and the different meanings it can have. And then some clarity on the verses, because Jesus didn't say, ask me, really, in John 14. He said, whatever you command in my name, I'll do it. I'll enforce it. Let me just make a couple of closing comments. We cannot command people to do things. The Lord doesn't do that. He gives us a free will, a choice. But you can address the darkness in people. But we must understand that the will of the person will override and allow that thing to come back in sometime. And that's why it's so important that we not say things like my cancer, or let's take it even further, my sinus infection or my allergies during this season. Don't take ownership of that. The devil is looking for words like that to gain entrance. And we are to be praying people. Now, we've long accepted the fact that we can pray in faith and receive. But really what I wanted you to see in these two sessions is that if we're told to go do the works of Jesus, most all of that involves commanding, just as we saw with him. And so we need to be bold in that. The thing that I would encourage you with is every time Jesus spoke, what happened? Whatever he spoke manifested. Now, the person receiving it, I think it's important that they believe it too. And in some cases, with the gifts of healings, it may not be so. But otherwise, it is important for them to be in agreement, just like the centurion came to Jesus knowing that he could. But the encouragement that you and I take away from this is darkness must obey Jesus. And when I say, what Jesus told me to say, it is the same as Jesus saying it to the devil himself, and they must obey. Now, I've been meditating on this for months, as I mentioned earlier. It's what I knew was right. And so, don't let it be confusing. Go back over it. Listen again. If there's some things you have questions on, you can send me a Facebook message. You can send a comment to Minton at Minton Williams Ministries if you want to email me something there. But we can address some questions maybe later on. But I believe we're going to have one more session, so we'll probably wrap this study up next week. But just meditate on this. Don't say, yeah, I got it, because I guarantee you, you don't. And also don't say, I can't believe it. Yes, you can. Believing is a choice. And if we are believers in Jesus, then we're obligated to believe what he says to us. And I want you so sure that you can speak to that thing that is hindering you, that has been placed in front of you by darkness, and it must obey. Bless you, and we'll see you again next week.